Previously, an unnecessary side project.
Matt learned about the horrors of the Denver airport.
And Joe faked the moon landing.
Hi, I'm Axel.
And I'm Rose.
And this is Unnecessary Side Project. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, how's it going?
I'm doing very well. We're here. It's episode 4. We made it through the first 3. We have 9 subscribers.
Yep.
No one has apparently listened to a single episode from those subscribers, but hey.
How many of those subscribers do you think are just the NSA?
I don't know, but okay. It breaks it down in the FeedBurner feed to say where things are from. And there's a section called Jakarta, like feed commons or something. And I guess it's some framework from the Philippines that nobody really knows exactly what it does. But I guess they subscribe to a bunch of podcasts all the time.
I guess.
We got a bunch of them.
Yep.
So nice. We're huge in the Philippines right now.
Yeah. Well, we could say as a young podcast, that's a good start.
Yeah, I think so.
Somewhere.
Definitely.
I think the general theme for this podcast was going to be talking about, speaking of young things, speaking of what the internet was like when we were young.
It's an incredible segue.
That segue is seamless.
Man.
You'd think this was my 5th podcast, but the quality of that segue.
Don't go off a cliff like the guy who owned Segway.
Yeah.
That's a really good joke. I really, really nailed that one.
Off to a great start.
Yep.
So the general theme of this podcast, as per your suggestion earlier, was we were going to talk about the way the internet was when we were young. And some of the things we did on there as young children or young men.
Yes.
That's not
well, we were children.
Yeah, I guess children.
Yeah.
So what was your first recollection of being on the internet?
Well, I remember we came home from school one day. We had a computer for quite some time. And we were, my sisters and I were in the washroom brushing our teeth, I think, or we were washing our hands or something. But my mom came up behind us and held up the AOL 500 free hours floppy disk in the mirror. And we were so excited that we were getting on the internet. And then we got it installed and we had our little modem and an external modem, which is something that I don't think, you know, younger people know that you used to have.
How fast was your first modem?
14.4.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh. We were 14.
Early adopters.
4 kilobauds per second. Yeah. And then we were able to get up to 28.8, I think. And then I remember vividly going to Staples with my mom to buy a V90 modem.
Wow.
Yeah. But I don't think we ever got up to that speed until we got, you know, fast internet.
Our first modem was a 28.8. We were kind of later adopters.
Right.
I can't remember my first time being online must have been at school. But the first time I remember I had a computer was when my Uncle Roman came over, my Aunt Irene. They install our 386 with the Hewlett Packard Desktop 500 printer, which to this day I think my mom still has in her basement.
It's a beaut.
And the first thing they did was just print off how to speak Klingon, the entire manual, how to learn that language.
Well, I mean, it's very important. Yeah. It's something that you have to learn.
Yeah. So that's my first recollection with our home computer. But I remember vaguely, I think there was AOL in Toronto, but we didn't use that. We used Bell. Like Bell had a service.
Okay.
But early on, I think all we used it for was going on like what the equivalent of MSN is now, like a news landing site.
Right.
I don't really remember if we had any inkling of what kind of impact it was going to have.
Yeah, I remember, you know, you mentioned that you the first saw it at school. And I mean, that's the same for me. And it was, you know, you had a... It wasn't even part of computer class because we had computer class, but it was all teaching typing and math circus and all this stuff. But then there was a separate class where you left your normal class if you signed up for it, and you would go into the library and there would be a teacher and a parent who would show you the internet.
Yeah.
And there was one computer in the library that had internet access at the beginning. I mean, obviously later they all did, but... And it was so exciting. It's like, oh my goodness, we're getting on the internet and we're putting AOL keywords into the search and going to the, you know, the homework help or whatever. It was, you had no idea how big it would get in the future and how different it would be.
Yeah, I think like we, I don't remember ever being excited about it. Like, it's interesting that you and your sisters got really excited.
Well,
I don't recall, like, I don't remember that being a thing. I remember, I guess because everyone else already had it, like, we were kind of late adopters. We had one of those antennas in our house that rotated on a dial until, like, the mid-90s. So we didn't really jump on technological bandwagons.
Those are back, baby. I got an antenna in my attic.
There you go. So I remember when we got it at home, I was excited, but it was mainly because everyone else had it and I wanted to communicate with everybody else.
Right.
But early on, so there was the school stuff. So we had, like, Encarta, and there was the Encarta Online Edition.
Yes.
Was terrible.
Yeah.
Was terrible about it. But then once we all started to co-opt it for our own stupidity, then it got really fun. So, like, making Hotmail accounts, as soon as that came out.
Yes. Well, okay. The excellent jumping off point here. What was your first Hotmail account?
Do you sure remember? My first one was, but my main one through most of middle school was Dr. Flava 69 at Hotmail.
Wow.
DRFLAVA at Hotmail.com.
So
69 at Hotmail.com.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's you need it.
It goes without saying.
So mine has a bit of a story behind it. We had in grade 6, I think it was, my teacher had a little desk calendar where you ripped off the individual pages, and on each page was a Jeopardy question, and he would ask the class every day the Jeopardy question, and if you got it right, you would get a little piece of chocolate, which not only you fed into my constant need for attention and total nerd, know-it-all things, but also helped with my eating habits in the future. Exactly, yes. My crippling diabetes. I'm losing. My foot's going bye-bye next week. But and one of the questions was about Prince Charles, apparently, and I answered. I don't remember this, but all of my friends who I've known since elementary school make a point of telling me about this pretty much every time I see them. I answered in the worst British accent and said, Prince Charles! So I hated that they started calling me Prince Charles. So then I hated the nickname.
I'm going to start calling you Prince Charles.
Oh, yeah. This is a minefield that I'm doing this right now. But so I tried to roll with it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm real cool with this. So my first AOL... Or not AOL. My first Hotmail account was Princey13 at Hotmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuck with me until probably early high school. And then I finally got, like, my name.
Yeah.
But, man, Princey13. That's...
Yeah, I got my name in high school as well. And then I still have it. I still have that account.
Yeah.
It was years later. So I'm good job past Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Figured that out. Dropping the Dr. Flavor early.
Oh, man. That's... The 69 and 420 are, I think, every possible combination of letters with those numbers at the end has been taken.
I'd assume so, mostly by me.
Yeah. You and a couple 13-year-old boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, like, Hotmail accounts were a big thing, and then the next big thing I remember going on was the chat rooms on, I think it was Yahoo Chat.
Yes.
And all my buddies and I would all go in there and just troll like crazy, which I assume, like, everyone was trying to hook up in those... Everyone's asking, you know, age, sex, location.
Yes.
I would imagine that all those
Is
kinds
that
of
what
acronyms.
That stands for?
Yeah. I'd imagine most of those acronyms stuff were just a treasure trove for pedophiles. Like, I can't imagine there were that many young people interested in meeting each other.
Yeah.
It had to be old, creepy people in there.
I think at that time it might have just been all young people. Like, there was not a single adult on the internet.
That's true. Maybe that is true.
Just all children. There's a website called Cybertown, I think it was called, and it was like, we touched on this in the first episode, it was like a Second Life.
Yeah.
But it was a chat room, but you had a virtual avatar, and you would walk around in this cyber city, but it was very small, a small area, and my parents used to make phone books, but with internet addresses in it, and it would have descriptions of what the website were. So, you know, I would pore through that thing to try and find cool things to go on the web because, you know, search engines were terrible back then.
Yeah.
Unless somebody had documented it, you would never figure out how to get to, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog fan page. Mm-hmm. But that was in there and it sounded so cool, but we were still on 14.4 dial-up.
Neither one of us even remotely reacted to the Sonic the Hedgehog fan page as being a thing that would be both logically look for.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because you got to go fast, one. So I wanted so badly to go to this website, and I remember we had our computer in the den, and I remember clicking enter to go to the website, getting up and leaving for an hour just to go do things and then coming back and the page had just finished loading. Yeah. And I couldn't do anything. I couldn't walk around because it was so slow. But I at that moment, I thought, yes, this is the future. We're all going to dial into the internet and have our little virtual avatars walking around. I should have invested.
There you go.
Yeah, I could have been a millionaire right now.
So, yeah, so we had those. I don't remember anything like that, but I do remember. So I remember going to chat rooms, and then going into high school, there was, I can't remember the name of the site. I can remember even before this started to remember the name of the site, but it was kind of like a live journal type place, which is another big thing that was going on in high school.
Oh, yeah.
But not really with me, but there's another place, but there's still pretty much people complaining about their lives, having teen angst,
mm-hmm.
but also being able to put down what their favorite movies are and music. So similar to like a Facebook kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was really big in the circles around my high school. So everyone was on there. Everyone would read each other's statuses and wonder what was going on in that person's day. That, oh, no.
Yeah.
Something really terrible's happened. Oh, wait. Yeah. So that was a big thing. Live journal, another big thing. And then ICQ messaging. And then MSN kind of took over pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like what your name was on MSN was really indicative of your emotional state at that time.
It was.
How much you wanted to portray how either cultured or hard you were by saying, I'm listening to Pearl Jam right now.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Better believe
take that, the man.
Yeah, I'm listening to grunge rock.
Yep.
I'm wearing my flannel. Yeah, it was... ICQ, I really didn't jump on until the end. And then at that point, MSN came and everybody jumped on that. And now, is there a messaging service that anyone... Did the people just text each other?
It's Facebook, I guess.
Snapchat?
Facebook has that. Yeah. Snapchat, yeah. Facebook has messaging.
I guess that's
true. But it all goes to your phone. Which, as an aside, it's something to do with our childhood, but I had to download a different app for my phone now just for Facebook messages. So the Facebook app is one.
Right.
And then if you message me, it'll automatically open up a different app just to receive a really crappy message.
They took it out of the main app?
Yeah.
No.
It's stupid. Anyway. It's
well, cool. I'm using a BlackBerry Bold 9700 because my regular phone broke, so I don't know if my Facebook even gets updates, to be honest. Yeah, the internet was it was pretty much the Wild West back then, and website addresses that now direct to things that would make sense did not, you know, when anyone could buy a website address and they, you know, big companies and stuff weren't jumping on the internet as quickly. Did you ever go to BritneySpears.com before it was Britney Spears' website? No. That was a huge pornography website. And we were in computer class in elementary school, and one of my friends said, have you heard of this new singer, Britney Spears? And we were in computer class and we started talking about it, and he said, oh, let's see if she has a website, and pulled it up. And then he got in quite a bit of trouble from the teacher because immediately, like, pop-ups would just fly onto the screen. I mean, pop-ups still happen, but I feel like
you're using a Mac. If you're on a PC, pop-ups happen every day.
Yeah, this is
you
true.
Live in the world that I live in.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I've had to clean your computers a few times.
Sorry for what you saw.
That's all right.
Isn't there whitehouse.com owned by someone other than the White House?
Oh, really?
Post, yeah. They post, like, I remember back when George Bush was president, they would just post things just like this flaming the presidency all the time.
Boy.
It's because whitehouse.gov is like the official one.
Yes.
So .com, and they refuse to sell. It just kept posting stuff about David Axelrod, all these other people on there.
Yeah, people who got in on it early, I'm sure, made a lot of money by buying things that they knew would be big. I remember there's a webcomic called Penny Arcade, which is like a huge like gaming comic. It's been running for many years. I mean, I don't know why I'm explaining this. I'm sure people know what Penny Arcade is, but for the longest time, I don't know if they even have it, because I used to go to pettyarcade.com thinking it would take me there, and it was some other guy's website. And you know you're in trouble when you have to put on your website, I am not, and yeah. You say the name of the other site. But he wanted so badly for people to come. I think it was probably like actual Penny Arcade, so it was probably arcade machines that he was doing, but he was not the comics. It's the dash between Penny and Arcade. But
there must be a whole industry now where people go out and buy domain names that are like one letter off. Like Goggle instead of Google, whatever. If you type something in wrong, it takes you to some other crappy website. It's just tons of banner ads and all kinds of the garbage.
Well, when we decided to name this podcast, I thought, let's see if USP.com exists. USP is a website where you can put in your tracking address for UPS, but it is not UPS. So I don't know. I'm assuming something shady is going on there because it does not look like UPS, and it says put in your tracking number here, and I'm sure it just starts a download on your computer. But yes, so that's why we don't have USP.com. But if you want to go there and track your packages, feel free. Everyone head over there right now and put in your package number.
Yes, we had that like kind of live journal-y site that I was referring to. I also had all those Angel Fire free websites. Did you have one of those? Like, I made a whole bunch of.
I never had Angel Fire because the bad kid in our class had an Angel Fire, and I told my parents that he did, so then I was forbidden to have an Angel Fire website. But
some of those animated GIFs are pretty suggestive.
Like they were
the counter at the bottom that was on fire. It was pretty
well. A picture on there that looked like a Japanese script until you turned your head sideways, and then it was a swear word.
Oh,
so man, he was real tough. Yeah. Grade six.
Yeah. Oh,
if you're out there.
Oh, God.
I'm going to bleep that out.
He's going to murder you.
Yeah. But, yeah, I never had Angel Fire. I never had GeoCities. I had Homestead. Do you remember that?
No, I remember GeoCities, though. Yeah, let you mention it. Yeah.
I had a Homestead website, but I hated, the website addresses for them because they always had, like, and I was too cheap to buy my own domain. So it was, I hated that it was, you know, joke.
Oh,
shoot. I got to bleep that out, too. I hated that it was, you know, my name .homestead.com. So there's a nation in the South Pacific called Tuvalu, I believe it is. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that terribly.
Sorry, President of Tuvalu.
But they offered free .tk website addresses. So I had my website. I had a comics company called Fanboy Comics, and I used to draw my own little comics, and I had fanboy-comics.tk. And originally it took you right to the site, but then as years went on, obviously they wanted to try and monetize it, so then I started doing pop-ups, and then I just completely abandoned it.
Yeah.
But
I had a list in high school, like grade 9 and 10, I think, especially, not so much after. It was a list of things that were kind of my trademark.
Yeah.
That I liked, that's how I was defining myself.
Right.
In the cesspool that is, you know, adolescent or pre-adolescent men.
Mm-hmm.
So ever just be a list of things that, you know, identified me as different from everybody else because I'm a unique snowflake.
You totally are.
And I would love to go back and find that list now and just hate myself while I read it. But I can't. I don't know how you go about finding that site. I don't know what the URL was or anything. But
yeah, I mean, like there's archive.org, which if you remember the website address, it keeps archived.
The Wayback Machine.
The Wayback Machine, yeah. But a lot of times if it's on, you know, those kind of sites, like a GeoCities or an Angel Fire, they're gone. They're gone forever. They just purged the servers completely. So it's tough to go back and find that stuff.
Sites weren't a big trend with us when I was a kid. Like it was not, but everyone didn't have to have one. I just had one because I was a loser.
Yeah.
It was fun to play with it. That's where my editing HTML skills topped out, was right around then. Great.
Right.
I ended on Angel Fire.
Yeah.
But one thing that got really big at our school or my high school, especially in grade again, 9, 10, maybe 11, was like forums, similar to Reddit, but a little different, like in terms of how the comments work, but specifically about our high school.
Oh, really?
And like huge, like flame wars turn into real fights all the time.
Really?
Because people had screen names, but then they'd figure out who wrote it and people would like talk smack about each other.
Wow.
And it was like, it burned brightly and then it burned out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That was like a really intense, like 2 or 3 years at our school.
Jeez. Yeah. No, we never had anything like that. In my little sheltered area of the world. You grew up in a big city.
Yeah.
But you know, I used to post on forums and stuff. There's a website that makes fonts that look like comic book fonts.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a forum and I posted there a lot when I was younger. But it was mostly just artists and stuff posting on there. But yeah, forums really aren't a thing anymore. I remember at my last job, they wanted to set up a forum so that people could talk about it. And this was, you know, Facebook and Twitter
already existed and had existed for many years, and they wanted to set up a forum. I said, why would you want to do that? You know, it's no one is going to go on there, A, and B, if they do, all they're going to do is flame you and troll you the whole, like, it's just going to be a mess. So I fought that tooth and nail my entire time there. The two things that they wanted so badly that I refused to let them do is A, create a forum, and B, put a pop-up on the website thanking people for coming to the website. So why immediately people are going to close your page if you put a pop-up on there. So
I think forums are still pretty big in some niche areas. Like if you look up like automotive stuff or like mixed martial arts, there's the MMA Underground's really, really popular.
Right.
I think what's happening more so though is like Reddit is taking over everything. So I think Reddit is the largest Game of Thrones forum now.
Really?
And they have other ones that existed, but now they're all just on Reddit because if you're a Game of Thrones fan and you're also a UFC fan like I am, they're both the same place.
Exactly.
So I think, because if you go to the comments, most of those pages, that's where like all the discussion goes. I think that's kind of taken over now. But I think the standoff, one-off forums are pretty much dead.
You're right. They do exist in some areas. I mean, anytime I have a problem with my computer, it's always some weird forum for, you know, Windows 7 or something that has the answer there. But it's usually, hey, how do I fix this? And then 6 months later, the person's saying, fixed it, thanks. But not explaining what they did.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, okay, this is semi-related, but do you remember how crappy computer stores were when you, you know, say 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah. Well, sadly, 10 years ago, I started university. That's how old I am.
Oh, boy.
And I ordered my computer from Dell. And so that existed already. But like 5 years before that, like you said, 15 years, it's the shadiest, like the back of a TV store.
And just lots of wire racks.
You just know nothing about what's going on. So like the guys, I'm sure, just gave me the crappiest components.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's... Even now, I wouldn't know what to do, how to build a computer.
Yeah. Like I remember the Future Shop in this city has changed locations, and it's much nicer now. But its original location was sort of in the industrial area of town. And it was badly lit, and everything was on wire racks, and all the boxes were damaged and sort of falling off shelves.
There were trench coats.
And they'd have, you know, like, not barrels, but the equivalent just on the ground, just filled with floppy disks that you could go in and go through. It was you know, it was not a pleasant place to be for the wave of the future. You know, it was not welcoming at all. I think once people realized that maybe, you know, there's money in this and started making it an enjoyable experience, that's when it really started taking off.
I think also things were going so fast. I remember I had a new computer. It was maybe 2 or 3 years old, which is not new, but you know what I mean?
Right.
We went out and bought a video game. It was the South Park Mario Kart game, I guess. It was something like that.
Right.
A racing game. And my computer couldn't play it, so we had to bring it back to Future Shop. And we had to convince them to take it back because I'd opened it up, which maybe I burned it. Right. I ended up getting another game that did work. Command & Conquer, by the way, which is the best game.
Oh, 100%.
It was a whole deluxe pack. But anyway, but like within like a year of buying a computer, 2 years, your games weren't going to work anymore. Like you could go buy computer games that wouldn't work anymore.
Yeah.
I assume that at the highest end of computer gaming now, it's probably still the same way.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Far Cry was the name of the game when that first came out. You really need a super powerful computer for that. But I feel like there's not a huge push for super great graphics as there was in the past.
Yeah.
I think it's at the point where it's passable. You know, obviously for the super high end PC people, they want, you know, the best quality textures and stuff. But I think, primarily, there's not a huge push to constantly improve the graphics on everything. So I think the life of a computer is much better now.
I also just think there's so much faster. So I think when I remember buying Photoshop for my laptop and could barely run it.
Yeah.
But for the most part now, you can walk into the store and pick up any product you want and take it home and install it, and you're not going to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't the case before. It was a minefield.
Installing things through DOS was awful, and then you couldn't find your sound card, or you didn't know what sound card you had. You didn't know whether you were VGA or Super VGA or EVGA or
God. What were some of the first games you played on your computer?
The first games I played on my computer. That's a good. Well, I mean, we had. They used to sell demo discs. I forget the name of the company, but the discs always had the same logo on them. at the grocery store. You could buy it. And my mom came home with a game where you can make really crude wireframe 3D models of things, but it really only allowed you to make three shapes, and then you had to buy the full version. So I had a lot of cylinders that I drew.
Yep.
But first real game was Hugo 3.
Hugo 3.
Yeah, nice. So Hugo's House of Horrors, but he was in the jungle.
That's the third one? I thought it was the second one.
No, the third one is the jungle.
Yeah, because I had that too.
Yeah, the first Hugo's in a house. The second Hugo, I can't remember, but the third one is in the jungle. And the demo seemed like the full game until it got to the point where you had to shoot an elephant to stop a river so you could cross it, because there were piranhas in the river and you had to kill the piranhas to get across. But it was really clever what they did, looking back, is they made the elephant go so fast that it would be impossible to type shoot elephant in the amount of time that it was on screen. But, you know, I thought as a child, I just was not able to type fast enough. So I thought, oh, in a few years, I'll come back to this. I'll be typing faster and I'll be able to do it. And then, you know, a few years ago on some old apps game archive or something, I found Hugo 3 and played the full version. And it goes way slower. So it gives you plenty of time to shoot that elephant.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the first one. I remember going with my mom to Staples again and bought bought NHL 98 and Myst. Those were two that I played constantly. Myst is a first person.
Like MYST, that one?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it was like a first-person puzzle game, but it was, everything was sort of pre-rendered. So you were in these environments and it looked 3D, but you weren't really interacting with it. It was sort of like the Resident Evil games where they had pre-rendered backgrounds and you just sort of moved around in it. So it looked beautiful. It blew everything else out of the water, but it was essentially just you looking forward, clicking on things, and trying to figure out puzzles. I beat the game later, but only with a walkthrough. The thing is impossible.
Yeah, my first game was Hugo's House of Horrors, I recall. You know, it was, it was a pretty good game. I also had some other game that was, it was kind of like a flight simulator.
Okay.
But, I mean, you were just flying a geometric shape over geometric shapes.
Hey.
And then aliens were like a triangle that came out.
Okay.
Out of the sky, and they shot, like, just dots towards you.
Okay.
So, like, the magical wireframe world. Like,
yeah.
But it was pretty good. Like, you had the sensation of flying when you did it.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, now I'm sure if I played, it'd be terrible. But, like, you could do barrel rolls. You kind of, there was a horizon, so you kind of got what was going on.
Neat.
But, yeah, Hugo's was the first, and I remember passing it only with a walkthrough. Man, maybe my uncle may have gotten it for me online. They printed off all the instructions. But at that point, you're just typing instructions into a game.
Pretty
that
much.
Game would last 1 second now, a game like that, where go online, get all the end. Well, done.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah. You didn't have to buy a strategy guide to figure out how to finish. Beat it, or call the LucasArts helpline.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite games growing up was the Monkey Island series.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a dedicated phone number that you could call to get tips. And because they were point-and-click adventure games were great, and I love them, but the puzzles were often made in such a way that you essentially just had to keep throwing things at the game until it worked. Like, a lot of times, puzzles didn't really make sense. Yeah. You know, why would you ever do this thing to advance the game? The good thing about LucasArts adventure games is you couldn't die in them, which was great, because you could just keep trying, or you couldn't advance in the game past a point where you were supposed to pick something up. Sierra also was a big name in point-and-click adventure games, and in those you could A, die, and B, forget to pick something up, progress in the game to the point where you can't go back, and then you would be unable to, and you'd have to start over.
Yeah.
So it was punishingly difficult.
Well, another game I got, this is a bit later, I think it's just like Windows 95 era.
Okay.
90, that wasn't 3.1 anymore, it was a bit later. Remember my uncle, different uncle, I keep telling my uncles here, they're different people, but no one would know that.
Right.
For my birthday, they got me like an educational game, a couple educational games. One was called The Incredible Machine. I've heard of this.
Yes, I've heard
of this. Yeah, amazing. So basically, you make, what are those things, Rube Goldberg?
Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, basically, you make that all day, and it's the best thing ever.
Yes.
So that's fun in and of itself. But the other one they got me was like a spelling game where you put in your spelling words for the week, and then it would make a whole series of games, like word searches and other kinds of games.
Really?
Which, I loved it. Like, I actually loved it, and I was totally fooled as a child that I was learning things.
Yeah. So
it worked very well.
I got you.
I mean, yeah.
Tricked you into learning.
Yeah, that's how I learned that, how you spelled because. That AU always bothered me.
Really?
drove me crazy. But thanks to that game,
well, I made
it up.
I'm glad you learned it. I'm glad you have that in your arsenal of words now, in your lexicon, if you will. And I think that just about wraps up our episode 4, talking about the origins of the internet as we remember them.
Because we remember that. Middle-class suburban Canada.
Yes. We didn't even touch on pornography, and but just assume that it was out there, but yep. It was much more difficult to get to.
Maybe after you did when you were in.
Well, I mean, my friend next door used to look at that stuff, and it was never me, so... That's all you need to know.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you for your patronage. We will see you next week.